Thank you. Thank you guys for coming out. And thanks to all who make this happen. We are many, so I will get right to the poetry. I'm going to start with a poem from my chapbook, which came out a couple years ago, available for sale. French lessons, no French required. Okay. And I like this poem because writing it taught me that poetry can emerge from the everyday and the ordinary. So it opens with an epigraph taken from the diary of Virginia Woolf, an entry written about 3 weeks before she ended her own life. She says, "And now with some pleasure, I find that it's 7 and must cook dinner, haddock and sausage meat. I think it's true that one gains a certain hold on sausage and haddock by writing them down." So this is called Household Object Lesson. Window. Warm days, I lean out. I don't even mind the dust on my white sleeve elbow. Books. I no longer touch them. They lean for company, strain to hold each other up. Countertop. We cook, we eat, we do the dishes. Sometimes we just cook and eat. Poinsettia. Something about blooming in darkened rooms. Passion erupts on my tabletop. Calendar. Despite the new year, now 2 weeks old, I am reluctant to turn it over. Newspaper. Countless thousands dead in Iraq, the work of my country's government. I slowly fold the paper for recycling. Desk lamp. How sweet the memory of walking down roads, not knowing where the future lay. Door, then stairway, and below the street. We go out, so far we return. So sometimes poems are prompted by the everyday ordinary, sometimes they're prompted by other poems. And when I was in my 20s living in Minnesota, Robert Bly dominated the landscape, and I found him so irritating for many reasons. And then I moved away and got interested in other things and gave no further thought to Robert Bly until I stumbled upon recently one of his better known poems, and admittedly a great poem, but all that irritation came back. So the only way to work through it was to work through it through a poem. So it starts with an epigraph from his poem, The Night Abraham Called to the Stars. And he says, "We stand in the onion fields looking up at the night." This is by yellow lamplight. He has dragged his muddy feet into the kitchen again as I cry at the counter, peeling and chopping. I too once looked up at the night. Now the stars, I prefer to drink them. Dancing in my glass, lighting the dark corners of my grubby badger heart. They will subside, I know. But what of the happiness they wrought? Laughter around a table, flavor of onions and mustard and salt, music to drown the sound of his weeping. All the gods are fallen. I am not heartbroken. Cronus eats his children. We know what Abraham was prepared to do for his Lord. I dig in the dirt for potatoes and beets that taste of earth. No one can convince me the dirt is not beautiful. Had we disdained the serpent and the badger less, we would not now be looking to Mars to save us. Pour some wine, turn up the music. Can we please not have to listen to that infernal weeping? So sometimes you are inspired to write in opposition. Sometimes you are inspired because you find something so great. This is that poem. And the reason I'm dragging it out now is because I have written an update. So I will read them both together. This was inspired by hearing the poet Harriet Mullen read from her amazing book called Sleeping with the Dictionary. And it just blew my mind. So this is called Men of Letters. Lately, my neighbor has been sleeping with the dictionary. At night, through the walls, I hear them laughing. I try not to listen to their unholy noise, the thumping of consonants, the low moan of vowels, the scream of exploding syntax. Lying awake in the dark, I remember my own lettered youth, the potent musk of all-night etymologies, the artful seduction of homonyms, unpunctuated rendezvous, synonymous trysts, the 26 positions of the alphabet. Alas, dear reader, all that is past, for I married Chicago Manual of Style. He seemed so confident, so steady, so sure. Of my unreferenced past, he knew nothing. But now how I hate him as he lies there inert, sleeping the satisfied sleep of the just. He's grown fat on footnotes, priggish and pedantic. Why must he always be right? Why must the world be so rigidly ordered? And style? What style? This manual has no style. Do you ever see him sporting a paperback or hanging out in front with a pocket size? Ah, dear reader, I have a confession. Today I had lunch with Thesaurus. I was left breathless. He was dazzling, so imaginative and subtle. Most important, he made me feel singular again. I know this adventure could bring heartbreak and misery, but Chicago Manual need never know. Besides, as they say, it's only lunch, or luncheon, or spread, snack, bite, collation from the Latin collatio. Okay, so this is kind of an update. One thing that always bothered me about that poem is it really did not do justice to the political punch of Harriet Mullen's book, among other things. So this is called Unbound. Well, dear reader, you may have heard of my divorce from Chicago Manuel. It was bound to happen. I admit I was out of line slinking around with Thesaurus. Thesaurus, of course, quickly lost his luster. Man of too many words, running off in every direction, serenely unable to commit. I did briefly have a fling with King James, but that was clearly a rebound. Besides, he was too old and imposing for me. I was adrift, unlettered, so long since I had been unbound. Oh, I tried those online dictionaries, but couldn't find any real meaning. I even tried bilingual for a spell, but really couldn't translate. And my neighbor, who played her way every night from A to Z, she and the dictionary are engaged. It was serious all along. Now alone, I talk on the phoneme with friends like primary reader, trying to sound it all out. At night, I hear voices in the attic. I know somehow I'll have to make my own way. The future, an open notebook. Thank you.